I'm George Flynn, and this is a chapter that most people come directly to. And if this is a chapter you've come to, let me give you a little summary of what was talked about in the other chapters. What we talked about was the fact that our emotions affect most everything in our life. Everything in life is affected by your emotions, and we'll prove why. This chapter proves one of the most important areas of most people's life, but how do you have your emotions? Well, remember, your emotions come from your thoughts. And you say, well, I don't know how to control my thoughts. And we talked about how to control your thoughts. So if you have thoughts and they cause emotions, yet you can control your thoughts, then you can control your emotions. That's one of the secrets. And here's what we're talking about. We're talking about your money and your emotions. How are they connected? They're very intricately connected. What we find that the secret is that money comes from our thoughts, from our emotions, because our emotions cause us to take action. And that action, those actions as they build up, change your financial outlook, either for the better or for the worse. And how would you like to know how to get yours, your emotions in line so that you can change your financial situation for the better? And I don't mean just a little bit better. I mean a whole lot better. That's what we're going to talk about. First thing is we need to control our thoughts. And we can have our thoughts. We can have our money thoughts the same as we can have any other thoughts about relationships, about time management, about health and diet. Our emotions control our money decisions. Now, logic backs them up. You say, oh, I just needed that new car. The other one had a dent in the back of it, and it just made me need a new car. But emotionally, you bought that car. Logically, you rationalized the buying of the car. And what we're going to talk about is some of the things you can say to yourself and get yourself to think, because if you say them, if you write them down and you read them out loud, it's as if someone else is reading them to you, and you think about them, and that thinking, remember, causes emotions. Let's take one for example. I like to save better than I spend. And we take that and we read it off of a card. We write it down on a card, and you're touching it. That's using your kinesthetic sense. And then you're imaging it, you're seeing it, so that's using your visual sense. And then you read it to yourself and you say, I like to save better than to spend. And then you're reading it, you're hearing it auditorily, you're seeing it visually, you've written it down kinesthetically, so you're getting all of your senses involved. Write it down on that card, read the card 2 or 3 times a day for 21 days, and see what happens. I've got to warn you that the first time you say that to yourself, yourself is going to say back, you're going to talk back to it. You're going to say, oh yeah, I really like to spend more than I like to save. And don't pay any attention to that voice. Pay no attention to the man behind that curtain. That's from The Wizard of Oz. Pay no attention to that voice behind the curtain. Just keep telling yourself, I like to save better than to spend. And you tell yourself that a day or two, and it'll still say, well, I hear you, but in the past, I've always liked to spend better than to save. If you talk back to the voice, that's okay. Say, well, this is a new future. If you want to ignore the voice, that's okay, but pay no attention to the voice. Just say, that's a voice from my past. Wasn't true then, not true now. But that's a voice from the past. And keep saying it to yourself. You'll find that in about 21 days, the voice will say back to you, you say, I like to save better, read it on your card, I like to save better than to spend. The voice will say, well, I've been telling you that all along. You know, where did you come up with, you think that's something new? That's been my belief all along. Thank goodness you're catching up to me. And that's when you smile and you say, I've gotten it through to my subconscious. It is perfectly okay to have money. And I know we get into the biblical thing, the love of money is the root of all evil. But let's talk about it's perfectly okay to have money. What money represents. Money represents your time and service to another person, another individual, or another group of people. You've put out a product, you've put out your time, you have been reimbursed to the degree that your time was valuable. Money is about an exchange of your time for money. Now, if you spend too much money, that means you really don't like money. It means I've gotten it, but I don't like it. It must be dirty. Let me spend it real quick and get rid of it. Do you see where I'm going? You're not saving any of it. You say, well, I love money. I love having money. Well, then you spend it all and you don't have any. A lot of people come up with the idea that they love money. But then when they spend it all and it's all gone, they say, I wish I had more. Well, what would they do if they got more? Spend it. They love the things that money will bring, the money will buy. And what the mental attitude that we've got to work on is there's a value of having dollars in the bank. And when you have those dollars in the bank, a friend of mine one time was saving up for a 57 Thunderbird. And he wanted that 57 Thunderbird so bad. And he said, I'm going to save up enough money in the bank to where when I get that 57 Thunderbird, I'm going to pay cash. I'm not going to finance it. I'm just going to pay cash for it. Interesting thing about it, he came back and told me a few months later, his leaps, I think it was 9 or 10 months later, he said, I've saved up enough money to get my 57 Thunderbird. And all of a sudden, when I have all of that money in the bank, I don't want the Thunderbird so much. And I didn't understand it then, but I do now. He understands the value of having money in the bank. Because then you can wait till the prices are low and you buy with no financing. There are no interest payments. Because where does interest go? Goes for payments, goes for use of money that you don't have. It buys you nothing except earlier time to use money that you don't have that you think you're going to earn in the future and you pay back with interest. So the key to it is to think this phrase and write this one down. Having money is better than having things. Having money is better than having things. Now, a lot of people buy a car. And I love cars. I love to buy cars. I love the new car smell. They buy a car. They drive it off of the lot. And the car immediately depreciates. Some people say 10%. Some people say as high as 25%. But the car immediately depreciates. In other words, it's worth less than what you bought it for. That's not a good investment. And that's usually people's second highest money investment in their life. The first is their house, the second is their car. But having money is better than having things. And write that down. And we're going to say that to ourselves 3 or 4 times a day for 21 days. Let's see what happens. Doesn't hurt anything, doesn't cost anything to do this. It may save you a lot of money. It may put you on the road to financial discovery of what can be better for you. We're going to also write down, I spend less than I make. In other words, we're going to spend less than we make. We're not going to borrow to live on. We're going to spend less than I make. Not the same amount, not a little bit more, but less than I make. My income every day, it increases. It increases in income. And what are the steps to increase your income? Well, the first is to invest wisely. And that means invest in things that will hold their value or appreciate. And the second one is have a long-term financial viewpoint. So if I buy this $50,000 car, $30,000 car, in 10 years, what will it be worth? $3,000, $2,000, $1,500? Look at what you buy and look at it long term, in 5 years from now, in 10 years from now, what will it be worth? And the last thing I would like to discuss with you is how to increase your money on your job or in your business. And that's basically to increase your performance in your business to what the boss or the owner expects, not what you expect, what they expect. You'll increase your value, you'll get a raise. Because your value's up. They don't want you to go anywhere because you are valuable. In your own business, if you own your own business, work on your income. Get rid of the barriers to say, I can only make a certain amount a year. And do this more and more. Become more and more valuable to others and yourself and your customers. Therefore, your income goes up because you're more valuable. You understand that your value is measured by your money, your value in the workplace. Your value as a person, right there, doesn't go anywhere. You're still a very valuable person. Whether you can work, whether you can't work, whatever you can do, you're a valuable person. Your value in the marketplace has to do with your service to others, your product, your relationship with others. What all of that has to do with is what? Your attitude. And your attitude comes from your emotions. So we think the correct thoughts. The thoughts cause emotions and attitudes. And with the emotions and attitudes, causes actions. So if you have an attitude of, I want to be more and more service to my company, you'll take the right actions. And then what happens? They see you're more valuable. What do you get? A raise. If you're in business for yourself, you serve your customers better. And what happens? You have more customers. Word of mouth goes crazy. They say, this guy does, or this woman, this man, this child does better than anyone else. They mow the lawn better. They produce a better product. They service, they check on me. That is how your attitude, your emotions affect your business.